this morning, examining what does the resurrection mean to you and to me. And as I shared with the people, in my personal walk with Jesus and in my relationship with other Christians, here is something very scary. And maybe today would be a day of change and transformation in your own life regarding the issue of the power of the resurrection of Christ. We have seen through questionings that 90% of Christians, listen to this carefully, 90% of Christians know about the resurrection with their mind. Only 10% of Christians understand and are able to live the power of the resurrection. The difference is that the 90% of Christians are able to share with everybody their knowledge about the resurrection and what the Bible says. But they are yet to experience the power of the resurrection. Today we're going to be examining the words of Jesus himself, the words of the Bible. We're going to be visiting the scene at the tomb of Christ. We're going to be visiting this wonderful historic record of the resurrection of Jesus and what happened then. And after that, later on, we see the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, I believe verse 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. So powerful of a verse. The Apostle Paul said, I am ready to lose everything that I may win Christ for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And I consider all things but dung that I may win him and be found in him, having not mine own righteousness, which is by the law, but the righteousness which is by faith in Christ. The righteousness of God by faith. So the Apostle Paul recognized that there is a special power that Christ have set apart because of his resurrection to his saints. And it's unfortunate that many Christians are moved mentally and emotionally as to the knowledge of the resurrection, and yet they are dying from inside out. I often shared with people this. I don't know if I shared that with you here. You know, when someone passes away, we declare that person is dead. But if you read the Bible correctly, death began as a natural phenomena inside us. All humanity began the process of death inside. And there are lots of verses in the Bible that heighten that. And there is a very powerful meaning to the resurrection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the resurrection of Jesus came to stop the process of internal death and to begin a process of life. That is to be resurrected from death from the inside out. And so I would like to examine the Word of God along with us. In the next slide, please. The glorious story of Christ's resurrection. Let us read it together. And let us examine some of the facts there. And how it applies to us. When the question was asked to lots of people, what does the death and suffering and resurrection of Jesus mean to you? Most of them connected sin and death and the resurrection together very well. That Jesus came to die for all of us sinners, that we may live through him. But when the second question was asked, how does it work? And is it working for you? That is when most of the people said, something is wrong. Why? I don't have the power of his resurrection. So let us please open our Bibles. We're going to visit the scene at the tomb, and then we'll visit the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm going to begin reading from Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Christ. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. The Savior of humanity is there, and there are two types of people. There are people like Joseph of Arimathea, who is a great businessman. There are people like Mary Magdalene, who's been delivered from 7 demons. And there is the other Mary. Those are people who are mortal, carnal, sinful flesh, yet guided by a different spirit at the sight of the barrier of Christ, the Son of God. And then we have the other people who are the majority in the church. We have the Pharisees and the scribe and the high priest, who were led by another spirit and fighting every power possible to make sure that Jesus is not real. And they went a long way to Pilate to make sure that the words of Jesus will never become true. Said, we want to make sure that we have enough guards around the tomb that the disciples would not steal the body. They also said, want it sealed by the Roman seal that no one is able to open it. And those are the two forces that is working inside us. There is the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the power of God in man, that works conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment in our heart. And as we respond to the Holy Spirit, we feel the transformational process taking place in us. And we are changed, as the Bible said, from grace to grace and from glory to glory, after the pattern and the stature and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is the other groups of believers who are also in the church, who do believe in the resurrection like the Pharisees did, who have a connection with the theology of the Bible and love to talk about the different stories and the different prophetic periods and everything else, yet the heart, Jesus said, is far away from me. In vain do they worship me. And it is unfortunate that this group of believers in the church become the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they resist the power of truth. And so, as the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus is working in us to save us from our internal and external death, so Satan is working on us to make sure that we are dying from the inside out. Two powers, two spirits, two outcomes. So let us continue the glorious story of his resurrection. In the end of the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, the Sabbath day ended, which is the seventh day of the week. Now we are reaching the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. You know, the world needs women like that today. Our world and the church need convicted, converted, committed women like Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who were fearless, courageous, living beyond themselves. They did not care what happens to them. They just wanted to be close to the heart of Jesus wherever he is. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You know, the angels of heaven could not bear the sight of the suffering of their Maker. The Bible said that they have turned their faces away when Jesus was going through the agony on the cross of Calvary. Something that today we are unable to connect with. We talk about the suffering of Christ as if it is a tale, a story. We don't feel it in our heart. And it's called the power of desensitization. Through all of the violence that we see on TV and all of the murders that we hear about and witness, our hearts become hardened. So we cannot feel and understand what Paul is saying, to be a fellowship of his suffering, being conformable unto his death. Something we are missing on. Something that is departing from us, that we must cry unto the Lord Jesus to restore it in us. So here the angels could not wait for the command of the Father to go and shake the earth and raise their Creator. His countenance, that is the angels, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. You know, Matthew is recording that, and you often wonder what a sight that was for those who have seen the angel of the Lord. What a blessing that was. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The centurion was there, who is Cornelius, who will be converted in the book of Acts. And other guards were standing there. They were scared to death. They were shaken as dead men. All of them fell down to the ground, trembling at the sight of the angel of God. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. It's ironic that the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the women and not addressing the frightened keepers. Where your heart is, there lies your treasure. But he was given the centurion and the keepers the opportunity to witness and to believe that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. So he addressed the woman and told them that, "I know you are here to see Jesus. He's not here, for he is risen. As he say, come, see the place where the Lord lay." What a glorious news that is. And someday, those who have been carried by the power of the cross of Calvary to the graves will also have such a great experience. They will rise from the graves as Jesus was risen from the grave, and they will no longer be there. He is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciple that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Say, go and tell them that the angel of the Lord have instructed you that Jesus is risen. Go ahead to Galilee, he will meet you there. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. That is the fear of God, different from the other fear that the centurion and the guard have experienced. They experienced the fear of dread and death. The women experienced the fear and the love of God in a glorious, joyous way. They did run to bring his disciples' word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, "All hail, heavenly greetings." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Power of love. By the power of love. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, the guard, came into the city and told the chief priests all the things that were done. They witnessed, they went to testify, but listen to this. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, the people of the church, the leaders of the church, to quench the most wonderful news, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Say, go ahead and lie. We're going to give you all of this money, but don't tell the people that he's risen. Don't tell him about the earthquake. Don't tell him about the angels. Don't tell him about the evidence. The devil offered them the alternative to kill their conscience. Are we going to be offered things on this world to steal our hearts away from Jesus? Do we have it? Have we already accepted it from the hand of the enemy? Is it killing the good thing inside us? And is it robbing us from the power of his resurrection? And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Now, the law in Roman is, if a prisoner escape, the guard is killed and their families. So now the high priest and the elders and the Pharisees are making a deal with the guard and the centurion. Do not tell what you have seen, and we will give you all of this money. And if the governor got word, we will protect you. We will lie on your behalf. Don't worry. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You know, we have to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, because it's what Jesus himself who said, be very careful what is controlling your heart, your mind. It's either me or the god of money. It's ironic that Judas went through the same and lost all things, including his life, because of money and prestige. And here it is. Again, the issue of money is being repeated. And the devil is using the issue of money to really tame and control the venues to our heart and steal away the life of Christ in us. You know, we often say that term, got a life. Got alive. And we just read this morning that it is by him in Acts chapter 17 we live, move, and find our being. It is not by any other gods of this world. But I know many Christians who are so willing to compromise their life in Jesus because of money. And I hope you and I will not yield to this God. So they did, they took the money, and they went on. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. What a wonderful meeting that was. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Listen, my brothers and sisters, it is kind of ironic when you read also the Gospel of Luke and Mark and John regarding those events. The disciples really did not believe that Jesus rise again. The disciples did not believe, even though he told them that the Son of Man will be arrested and tried at the hand of sinners. He will suffer and he will die and he will rise again on the third day. They didn't understand it then. Even though he told them plainly that I will go and suffer and die and rise again, they did not believe it in the heart. And you will read that in the records of the Gospel of John and of Luke and of Mark. And here it is, even though they are there and he is there, some bow down and worship him and others doubted. That cannot be him. And who was that? Thomas. He said, unless I put my hand in his side, feel the nails in his hand, I will not believe. And Jesus helped his unbelief. If that is who you are today, that you are still going about life and decision, struggling with issues of believing in the resurrection of Jesus, you may want to pray like Thomas. Lord, I believe. Please help my disbelief. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Those words were reminiscent of what Jesus told them in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, and I shall give you the power to tread over the serpent and the scorpion and all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise harm you. This is the very same power that Paul is talking about, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do you have this power in you? Jesus have all power, and now that he is resurrected with complete victory over all sins of all generations, he has been victorious over the human, defective, carnal, sinful nature. That's yours and mine, that we struggle through every day. And he has been victorious over Satan and all of his wicked snares. And he was victorious over the grave. To each of these is a very powerful meaning. And then he told them, one of the great manifestation of my power upon you will be this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in the Gospel of Acts, in which we will study next week, we will see how the men, women, and children have received such power. As they were praying and confessing their sins, and as they were all in one accord, how the Holy Spirit came upon them like a mighty rushing wind, and the power of God arrested their hearts and never left them, even as they struggled on. And how the Lord gave them cloven tongues and powers they never had to proclaim the very gospel of salvation through the life, teaching, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that was the first sermon in which we will examine this week that Peter has given. And 3,000 souls were redeemed by the grace of God. I love that verse. That I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, life with Jesus is a journey. Every day should be a brand new, glorious, joyous adventure with God. So again, when you rise up in the morning, what is the first thing upon your heart and mind? Is it work? Is it school? Is it responsibilities? Is it the pleasures of the day? Or is it Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory for the day?
Yes.
You know, many people wake up not to the same very day anymore. Many people open their eyes and they are paralyzed in bed. Many people get up to some very horrible news that life has changed. Many people get up for the loss of great family members because of war. Many people never get up in the morning because of tsunamis and earthquakes and other natural disasters. When we get up in the morning, what power is guiding our day? Every day is a great adventure with God. The centurion and they that were with him feared greatly and say, truly, this was the Son of God. Thank God for that. That as they witnessed, they also believed. And we see the conversion of Cornelius the centurion in the book of Acts. And we will get to that story later on. The angel said, he is not here, for he is risen. Keep those words in your mind. After his resurrection, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This power is given us. It is the power to help us become fearless in time of great fear. It is the power that gives us assurance in time of uncertainty. It is the power that grants us internal calm and peace in time of storms. It is the power that works in us conviction and conversion. And it is the power that works in us signs and wonders and miracles. And it is the power that works through us to accomplish the same in our families, in the church, and in the life of great many people of the world, just like the centurion and great many others, if we have that power within us. It is the power that will see us as we journey on all the days of our life on earth. It is the power that gives us the motivation and the encouragement to live a life more abundantly, to move from one place to another, trusting fully Jesus over our life, and to find our being in Him. That is to recognize that our being is for a wonderful purpose on earth. It is not about work and making a living. It is actually not about school and getting a degree. It is not about visiting family and friends. All of the things are important parts of our life on earth, but life is not about that. It's about what power is working in your life every day.
I'm cold.
Okay, let us turn the heater on for a little bit. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, the power and purpose of the resurrection for all humanity. I think we have time to examine some of those verses quickly. Hope and salvation from sin, suffering and death through the life, teaching, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I would like to go quickly to Romans chapter 5 and read those words together. Romans chapter 5. And let us look at that purpose and meaning of the resurrection to see if we are experiencing this every day. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's power. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, verse 17 to 20. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. We shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That we can still, a struggling sinner, live, move, and find our being and live an abundant, blessed life that lack nothing on this earth in addition to the gift of life eternal. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one Jesus shall many be made righteous. It's amazing. That is power. That I could not live the full righteousness of God in me, but because Jesus did, his own righteousness transfer to me. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That is power. That is the purpose and the meaning of his resurrection to us. Secondly, because Jesus lived, died, and rose again, new birth of the Holy Spirit through baptism unto his death, new life more abundantly, and a new growing children of God through the adoption of children. All of this, I just had to summarize through many texts. Many chapters of the Bible is speaking about that, that we can be born again. And that's what Jesus said in John 1:12. The Gospel of John said that to them that believed on him, give he the power to become the children of God. Give he what? The power to become the children of God. I am powerless. I cannot make myself a child of God. It's like forcing myself to be adopted by Peter into his family, the Stanford. I can do everything that I can. If they say no, I don't have the power. Only Peter can decide, I will adopt another child and go through all the process and pay all what needs to be paid to bring the child into the Stanford family. To them that believed on him, give he the power to become the children of God. And then in John chapter 3, we know what Jesus said there. Unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that is a key there. We have to be born in our heart by that Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the Apostle Paul wrote those words in Romans chapter 6. Let us read them together. Romans 6 verses 1 to 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You know, you're bearing. Baptism is a symbol where you acknowledge that your whole being is sinful and that you have committed great many sins that eventually lead to death, and that you have accepted the expiation of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who have borne all of your sins upon him. And he is alone able to save you and to forgive you and to redeem you and to give you a new life by his Spirit. That you are so willing to bury the old man of sin, which is of the flesh. And then to be born again by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches how to pray. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches how to praise. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches and preach unto us and guide us to be compassionate, to love, to forgive, and to give. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we have died of that old self-centered, self-destruct nature, and now we are acknowledging that we want Jesus to do the work in us that we cannot do for ourselves. That's what baptism is all about. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now we have to learn to adapt into the family of God. We have to learn the rules and the regulation and the statutes. What does it take to survive and to live and to enjoy the glories of the palace of the kingdom? We didn't know that then. The Holy Spirit began to educate us, and he knows that we don't know how to follow all of these rules because we were under other rules of sin. And he helped us through the process. We live a brand new life in him. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Boy, those are very deep words. And it's going to take us perhaps throughout eternity to understand the meanings of this. 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, there's a difference between servitude and slavery. S- slavery where you have no power to decide your destiny. Servitude is when you choose to serve for some reasons, good or evil. We do not need to allow sin to reign over our mortal body. We need to pray that it is the Holy Spirit alone that reigns over our sinful nature, that we may become the servants of righteousness, the servants of our God Almighty, even as we journey on this sinful earth. That is power. Finally, in 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We got to die how often?
Once.
The Bible said we got to die daily from sin. Paul said, I die daily. Because sin continue to fight us every day. And we got to die of sin every day. Number 3. Christ's death and resurrection ensures and seals the believer's resurrection after death. That is what Cynthia was talking about this morning. And I would like to read those words in John chapter 5. Listen to what Jesus said regarding those who believe on him, on his suffering, death, and resurrection, and accept that on their behalf. And try to follow his own word. In John chapter 5, and in verse 24 to 29, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Powerful, powerful words. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Good and evil is decided by our faith. Either we truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or we believe in ourselves, in others, and in things of this earth that shall pass away. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the Holy Spirit that justifies us through the blood of Jesus, and then sanctifies us and make us holy as he is holy. And Jesus, by his Spirit, will never leave us until our last breath on earth. And after that, the Bible said, because God created us once, he had promised to recreate us again, but this time, eternally. If he is able to create the sun that lasts through great many generations and thousands of years, if he is able to make that red fir tree to last for 1,000 years or more, if he is able to create the mountains that have been there for millions of years, if evolutionists are right, then he is able to create a human being that live forever. But the other journey is not good. Jesus said, but they that believe not and do evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. Two resurrections, according to Jesus and according to the book of Revelation. One resurrection is for the redeemed and the saints to inherit the land that was prepared for them before the foundation of the earth. The other resurrection is for the destruction of all the wicked and the earth. This sinful earth will be destroyed and will melt with fervent heat. And God will make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth where there lies only righteousness. Two powers, two spirits, two destinies. Which one we're living with? I'm very thankful for this email that I got last week. Next slide, please. Thoughts and petitions regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:7-11 is talking about the very words of the Apostle Paul and how he wants to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformable unto his death, if by any means he might attain to the resurrection from the dead. I got this acrostics by email from my good friend Dan, who is the general manager at KFAX. He sent me this and he said, Abraham, that may kind of help you a little bit or encourage you. He received this from Pastor Bill in Columbus, Ohio. And after I read the email, I said, you know, very pertinent to the message. I am very thankful when God inspires another servant of his to really bless us with his gift. What does Easter mean to Pastor Bill? Easter means E for eternal, A assurance, is secured, T through E Emmanuel's R resurrection. Together, eternal assurance secured through Emmanuel's resurrection. What a wonderful summary to the sermon. Amen? So this is something very powerful that we can remember when the word Easter comes to mind. Okay? The next acrostic he has. What does Christ do on Easter Sunday? Christ has risen in supernatural triumph. Now that is just too much for the human brain to digest, but it is true. Christ has risen in supernatural triumph. The grave could not hold him down. Death could not have a dominion over him.
Superman can do that.
And I tell you, that is a glorious hope. He raised Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. He's got the power to life and death in his hand. And he promised his own children a blessed life of faith on earth until the last breath and the gift of life eternal. Our last acrostic, please. What has happened to me because Christ is risen? I love that. Risen. Rescued I serve Emmanuel now. Shouldn't that be the purpose of our lives?
Yes.
Shouldn't that be the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus? That I have been rescued from death. The death of my own sins. Now I live. I don't live because I'm sinless. I live because I was rescued from my sin and the suffering of my sin through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And because I am rescued by his own deep eternal love, I have a purpose to live, to love others as Jesus have loved me.
Amen.
And I love that picture of the Good Samaritan. It shows us what will it take for us to have the abundant life on earth, and what will it take for us to have eternal life. How are you living every day? What are the things that distress you? Is it because of you? Or is it because you are desiring to serve someone else? Where your heart is, there lies your treasure. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart has to conform to the love of Jesus. That everything that you do, it is not about you. It's about his love for you and your love for others. And trust me, you will live a long life because you will avoid lots of internal distresses. Internal distresses cause lots of diseases. It shortens life and it drops the immune system. And it causes us to resort to all other venues in this world to satisfy that need. It doesn't work. Rescued, I serve Emmanuel now. Next one. What did Christ do for all of us on the cross? Cross. Christ redeemed our sinful souls. We have been restored. Adam and Eve sinned. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Jesus came to purchase us and restore us back into his garden, into paradise, into his own fold as a family of God. Christ redeemed our sinful souls inside. If we give him entrance, if we give him control, if we give him lordship, if we give him all things that we are from the inside out, he will redeem our souls. Glory, hallelujah. In conclusion to this message, I want to conclude with the words of the Apostle Paul regarding the crucifixion, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Powerful words. I memorized that years ago, and I'm glad I did. I hope that you memorize some of those scriptures to be your own power. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in my sinful flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. May that be your theme and my theme and our motivation to live every day. Not for ourselves, but for Jesus. And if we live for Jesus, we will live the most abundant life. And God will use us to bring the glories of the power of his resurrection and the blessings of his resurrection upon us, upon our families, upon his church, and upon great many people in the world. This is my earnest prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you as we try to understand the depth of your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our wonderful, blessed, holy, resurrected Savior. Holy Spirit of the living God, in Jesus' name, we give you complete control over our hearts, over our minds, over our bodies, over our souls, over our lives, our families, the church, and the world. As you justify us daily and forgive us daily of our sins that cause you to suffer, forgive those also who trespass against us, Lord. And as you sanctify us daily, continue to make us holy as you are holy. And in the process, it is our earnest desire to express your deep and rich resurrecting love to one another and to the world that are dying from the inside out. Give us opportunities every day as we walk an adventurous life of experience with thee. As you help us to grow through events and circumstances in your holy character, use us to bless all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.